let's not forget that the purposes of God are accomplished through evil men.
In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. On this Friday, I want to talk to you today about the sovereignty of God. Tremendous subject, isn't it? It's a subject that I suppose every talk I ever give touches on. But I keep coming across the most fascinating stories that remind me of the fact that God is in control of things. And God does have a purpose and a plan for everything that happens. And in His mercy and in His grace and in His love, He orchestrates all of these things together for His own glory and for the good of His people. I mentioned recently reading Winston Churchill's autobiography of his early years. The book is called My Early Life, and it covers 1874 to 1908. He was 26 years old at the end of this volume, and of course he's written more about the rest of his life, but he tells there about having dislocated his shoulder when his ship was landing in Bombay. He was going over there. This was, of course, during the British Raj days, and the sea was quite rough, so the ship itself could not land, but Indians came out in smaller craft and were willing to take anybody that wanted to get on land as fast as possible. So Winston Churchill was one of those who went in a small skiff. Well, it was terribly rough when they got to the wharf. He grasped at a ring in the stone wall. The boat rose and fell 4 feet and gave his shoulder a sharp and peculiar wrench. And Winston Churchill writes this, "This accident was a serious piece of bad luck. However, you never can tell whether bad luck may not, after all, turn out to be good luck. Perhaps if, in the charge of Omdurman, I had been able to use a sword, instead of having to adopt a modern weapon like a Mauser pistol, my story might not have got so far in the telling." And elsewhere in the book, he tells about this cavalry charge in South Africa, where, because of the wrenched shoulder gotten while he was trying to land in Bombay, he was not able to wield the sword properly and had to adopt a pistol, which in that particular case saved his life, as a sword would not have done. So that's why he said, "If I had been able to use a sword, instead of having to adopt a modern weapon like a Mauser pistol, my story might not have got so far in the telling." Churchill goes on to say, "One must never forget, when misfortunes come, that it is quite possible they are saving one from something much worse. Or that when you make some great mistake, it may very easily serve you better than the best advised decision. Life is a whole, and luck is a whole, and no part of them can be separated from the rest." Churchill's biography is filled with all sorts of fascinating and cliff-hanging sorts of adventures. I had no idea that Churchill had lived such a romantic and adventurous life before he became world famous. What he says about life being a whole, I would agree with absolutely. He uses the word luck, which is not a word that would occur very often in my vocabulary, because I see what most people see as luck as being special providences of God. Even the word special, I realize, is probably not very accurate when speaking about anything that God does, because there is no great with Him, and there is no small, and there is no special, and there is no ordinary. But I do see my life as a whole, and I do believe that Romans 8:28 is in the book and means exactly what it says, that everything that happens fits into a pattern for good. And here was a case in point in Winston Churchill's life. And I always go back to the scriptures for corroboration of the principles that are illustrated in ordinary people's lives. In the first book of Samuel, in the 23rd chapter, we find the story of Saul searching for David in the wilderness of Ziph. And it says this in verse 14, "But God did not put him into his power." There I see the work of God and the work of man. Saul, of course, was searching for David in order to kill him. Saul did the searching, and if God had wanted him to, he could have found him. But it says God did not put him into his power. So here we have the principle stated rather succinctly in this one verse, that while man may lay his plans and exert his most strenuous efforts, in the last analysis, the issue is God's. And it's also very interesting to me that in the 23rd chapter, God did not put David into Saul's power, but in the 26th chapter, he did put Saul into David's power. And that is just further corroboration of what I'm saying. Verse 12 of chapter 26, "So David took the spear and the water jar from beside Saul's head, and they went. The whole camp was asleep. No one saw him. No one knew anything. No one even woke up. A heavy sleep sent by the Lord had fallen on them." So here was David searching for Saul, and yet when he had the opportunity to kill Saul, God had actually put Saul into David's power. He didn't take it. The heavy sleep was sent to put Saul to sleep. Jesus, however, we read in the New Testament, was put into the hands of evil men. In Luke 22, verse 53. God did not put David into Saul's power. God did put Saul into David's power. And, mysteriously, God did put Jesus into the hands of evil men. The power of darkness was granted to those who arrested Jesus. Here we have the mystery of God's sovereignty. He was watching over Winston Churchill, and if you read his biography, you read one story after another of unbelievable escapes from death, time after time after time. All sorts of dangers, many different battle experiences where there were showers of bullets and bombs all around him. And Winston Churchill was obviously being preserved by a sovereign God for an enormously significant international role, which he would ultimately play. But back in his early life, the sovereignty of God is seen in his sparing his life again and again when it might have been lost. And we sometimes are aware of narrow escapes that we've had. When you think of the ones that you do know about, have you ever pondered how many there were that you never knew? You never had the slightest idea of the danger that you were in. So why would God allow Jesus to be put into the hands of evil men? You and I know the answer to that story. He had to be crucified. He had to go to the cross. He had to pour out his soul unto death for the salvation of you and me, for the redemption of the world. There God has shown us his purpose very clearly. And let's not forget that the purposes of God are accomplished through evil men. That happens every day. Nothing happens without God's permission. I've been making a file for years of instances of the sovereignty of God. I happen to be reading the book of Joshua right now in my own Bible reading in the morning. And there in the capture of Ai, we see Joshua and his men fighting with all their might and main. But there were some powerful kings against him. There were some big armies against him. But the Lord tells him, "I am putting them into your hands. I will give this city into your hands. And he told them exactly how to go about it and what to do when. For those of you who are puzzling over the whys of God's providence in your own life, over what may seem to be a total absence of any divine control or plan, I hope that my words will encourage you to believe that he does have the whole world in his hands. Those everlasting arms are upholding us. And the things that look like the worst mistakes may ultimately turn out to be the greatest blessings. And as Winston Churchill said, when you make some great mistake, it may very easily serve you better than the best advised decision. Life is a whole, and luck is a whole, and no part of them can be separated from the rest. I would rather say, life is a whole, and the sovereignty of God is total. And my life can never be separated from the love of Christ. Neither peril nor sword, neither life nor death, nor angels, nor things present, nor things to come. I'm getting the order wrong there, but that's in the 8th chapter of Romans. Paul gives a long list of things which cannot possibly separate us from the love of Christ.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.